always sing together hymn number 166. I'll read the last verse. Unchangeable thy gracious love, our earthly path has ceaseless view. E'er knew our beating heart to move, thy tender mercies still pursued. Ever with us may they abide and close us in on every side.
Thank you.
return to to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, the first chapter. You know, Timothy, the epistles of Timothy were written to a person. It's remarkable how the various scriptures are arranged, is it not? We have one, I believe, one epistle written to a sister. And then we have also a gospel in the book of Acts written to a certain man, as mentioned, that we know little of. And here we have an epistle that's written to Timothy. Now, it's a little different than some of the writings in this way, that especially the second epistle, that the apostle is through with his ministry practically. He's ready to be offered up. And now his heart turns to Timothy, a young man. We don't know how young, but he knows that Timothy is going to carry on the work. He's assured of that. And so he wants Timothy's heart to be warmed in the things of Christ. He wants Timothy to know some of the things that he himself has experienced as he served the Lord down here. He wants to point out some of the pitfalls. He wants to set before him the reward and all that belongs to a path of service down here and faithfulness to Christ. But there's something very touching about this epistle, as we'll see. It was written in a time when declension had taken place and the apostle was alone, as it were. Not that there weren't other Christians, but they had lost sight of the path. All they that be in Asia forsaken me, you could say. And here is one soul, Timothy, that was true to the truth itself. Not just the apostle. No, he was true to the truth itself. And there were certain principles that marked Timothy that caused him to stand when others fell. And so we'd like to notice a few things in this second epistle this afternoon. We'll just read a few things out of each chapter. In the first chapter, the first verse, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel, according to the power of God, who hath saved us, and hath called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. 13th verse. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me, in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. Now in this chapter, we have sort of a background that the apostle is rehearsing in connection with Timothy as sort of a basis in which this man is going to be used of God. There seems to be something here that goes back in the purposes of God in preparing a vessel to be used. Now we sometimes think of certain persons like Jeremiah and Isaiah and Moses and Abraham and others. And we think, well, they're especially outstanding characters and so they have a special preparation. But I believe that this is true in so many, not just a few. But that the Spirit of God has wrought, so wrought in the hearts of His people, that we might date back to our mothers, our grandmothers, and so on. In the blessing and the background in our lives that have brought us into such blessing. Now it's true that Timothy was going to be used in a special way. But we see here how the apostle has noticed the background of Timothy. Sometimes we wonder why there isn't more said about sisters in Scripture. But have we noticed what Scripture does say about the sisters? Oh, what faithfulness on the part of these two. Thy mother and thy grandmother. Some years ago, I was privileged to go and visit a man who was on his deathbed who was 100 years old. That is, he was to be 100 years old, perhaps the next day. This man had been a criminal most of his life. He had been in the penitentiary probably more than he'd been out in his adult years. He had been a trial to the community. But this brother asked me if I would like to go and see him on his deathbed. Perhaps he might confess Christ. And he knew this brother well. And as we walked into the room, he called this brother by name and he said, "I have good news for you." He says, "God has saved my black soul." And so we had a little talk with him. He hadn't many hours to live. And we asked him how it had come about that after so many years, 100 years, the Spirit of God had broken through into his soul and given him to see the light. Well, he said, "You know, God put me on my back on the bed, and he said all I could do was look up. And he said, I began to remember the verses that my grandmother taught me when I was a little boy." How about it, grandmothers? Are you getting discouraged teaching the little ones the verses? Don't be discouraged. God is going to bless that work of yours. "Inasmuch as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." How about it, mothers? Are you getting discouraged? Don't be discouraged. Here we see, as it's put here, thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice. What value the Spirit of God puts upon these things that seem so small in the eyes of men. That quiet teaching that will never be forgotten. And so this is the background of this dear man. And the apostle goes on to speak of the faith that was in him too, that he recognized. Now, Timothy was no doubt rather a timid man. And that was nothing against him at all. In fact, it was one of the things, no doubt, that drew the apostle to him. It was a sense of his own nothingness. And so now he's ready for instruction in that line. Because the boldness of nature is one thing, and the boldness of faith is another. Do you know that this, according to history, that this timid man, Timothy, who was instructed to not be fearful, we're told that he stood at the amphitheater and preached Christ until he was beaten to death. That was the end of Timothy, according to history. Yes, that's a different kind of boldness, you know. It's the kind of boldness that is the result of being in God's presence. The other kind won't do. It soon comes to an end. And so he says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power." That's what God has given. "And of love, and of a sound mind." Well, Timothy needed this. Now he needed something else. The 8th verse. "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord." That's the first thing. Oh, you say, surely Timothy wasn't ashamed of the testimony of the Lord. No, but he was timid. And he needed this exhortation. You know, it's one thing to sit in a room and talk about gospel work, and it's another thing to be found in a circumstance where you're tested as to it. It's quite another thing. Then it's a question of crying to God to give you grace. And so on those moments of trial and testing, he has this word from the apostle. "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord." Now something else. "Nor of me as prisoner." I suppose that was the reason why those in Asia had forsaken the apostle. Because of his difficulties with the law. At least that was part of it, I'm sure. And so, Timothy was able, through the grace of God, to see through it. And to see that Paul was a prisoner for the gospel of Jesus Christ. It took real discernment, walking with God, to be found in the path in the days of testing. And you know, we're living in similar days today when the believer is being tested in very unusual ways. The enemy is coming right into our circumstances. Everyday life in a special way, with the children at school, in employment, in the everyday things of life, there's special testings that are coming up. And they're all couched in religious background, many of them. And so the believer is being tested in a special way today. And we may not be ashamed of the Lord Jesus, but we might be tested in other ways that have to do with the testimony. Pride comes in. And so the apostle is seeking to prepare Timothy for the moment when he would leave the scene and Timothy would probably be taking over in seeking to be a help to the people of God. In a special way. Now in the 13th verse, he tells Timothy to have an outline of truth. To hold fast an outline of truth. He couldn't hold it fast if he didn't have it. And it supposes that you and I read and meditate on the Word of God. Now, it's nice to read the Psalms. It's nice to read in the prophets. It all has its place. But let's remember that Scripture wants us to have an outline of sound words. And so we should be acquainted with Scripture in general, both the Old and the New Testament. If we're going to be able to stand against all of that which the enemy would bring against us if we seek to serve the Lord at all. And so he tells him to hold fast the outline of sound words which thou hast heard of me. He was an apostle. It was Paul to whom was committed the truth of the mystery, Christ and the church. The most precious truth that has ever been given to man. It was Paul that had this committed to him. And now he was going to hand it on to Timothy. He had handed it on to Timothy. He had communicated to Timothy these precious truths, as we see in the first epistle and elsewhere. But now in the second epistle, when everything was falling to pieces outwardly, he was encouraging Timothy to hold fast to this outline of truth. Now he refers to it again in the 14th verse. That good thing. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. Now, immediately following, he tells about those who have turned aside. Probably men who had a great deal of intelligence. But you know, intelligence alone does not commend a man to the apostle, because they were using their intelligence to break up the saints. No, that won't do. There has to be faith and love connected with it. Not just intelligence in the things of God. We have then a little background in this first chapter for Timothy. The grace of God that long before, as we were singing in that little hymn, e'er knew my beating heart to move, thy tender mercy still pursued. Timothy was being prepared for this special work. But now we'll notice a few things in the second chapter. If in the first chapter we have a background, we have here that which would be in preparation for his work that he has to do, the path that he's to walk in, the battle that's ahead. And so it says, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Isn't that a lovely way for the apostle to write here? We know it's inspired, of course. But I believe it just poured out of the heart of the apostle. As he thought of Timothy, the others having forsaken him, here was a man, a young man, who was standing fast. And so he says, thou therefore, my son, son in the faith, be strong. How? In the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Now, the natural man doesn't know anything about this. You know, true service for Christ is the result of grace. Grace. It isn't the result of natural power or strength. It's grace. And so he's exhorting him now to stand fast in this grace. You know, if the apostle suddenly left the scene and Timothy found himself in a position where he might be taking a lead, he might feel possibly that he needs to exert some efforts. No, he says, Timothy, here's where you're to stand. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Is he to use his own mind in developing the truth? Never. Oh, how the Spirit of God guards the truth being carried on from generation to generation. We may not have far to go now, you know. The Lord may be here any moment. But if the Lord doesn't come immediately, if he should wait a little so that souls might be saved, perhaps some of these young men and some of these young sisters will be found in places where they'll be serving the Lord in some special way. And the Spirit of God tells us here how the truth is to be carried on. The apostle doesn't say that on a certain street in a certain place there'll be a certain school that you'll go to. And there you'll be prepared in every way so that you can carry on the testimony of Christ. He doesn't say that. Notice what he does say. The things which thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. That's the first thing. That's the way the truth is carried on. Where did you hear the truth? That's the point. Where did you hear it? And so, remember from whom thou hast heard them. The source has to be pure. It was directly from the apostle. But it was in the presence of witnesses. Oh, how precious this truth of this chapter is. As we come to the very end days, how God is preserving the truth and has been preserving it. And he's preserving it through young men like Timothy, who stand fast in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Not through some system of man. No. This is the provision God has made. The form of sound words that were transferred to Timothy and to these other witnesses that were here. Now Timothy was to commit these things to others gradually, of course, in teaching. As he went about from place to place, he was to teach these things and commit them to others. And so when Timothy passed off the scene, there would be those who had the precious truth in their possession that they had gotten first from the apostle and then carefully given to faithful men. Faithful men. Who shall be able to teach others also? But now he turns directly to Timothy as to his own course. And he says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Hardness. These were days of difficulty. The apostle had been in prison for some time. His course was almost finished. Timothy was going to find the path of hardness. And so it'll be for those who wish to serve Christ today. You may not be put in prison, but it'll be a path of hardness that is required. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. You know, we can't be double-minded. If one is serving Christ, he can't be occupied with everything else. There has to be a single eye. He mustn't be entangled in the things of this life. There are many things that are necessary, but other things can be set aside. They're weights. They hinder the testimony. They may seem important, but it only shows a divided heart if we become entangled in the things of this present scene, as objects. Timothy was not to do this. It would hinder his ministry. Now, the fifth verse, I feel, is so important. It's all important, you know. I remember the first time I heard this verse quoted in a young people's meeting, and it went through my heart like an arrow. It was this verse that gave me to see the difference between simply gathering as I please and to be gathered to the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. If a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. It was then that I was given to see that I was doing what I wanted to do instead of what the Word of God told me to do. You know, dear young people here this afternoon, there's a day of reward. Now, God doesn't set that before you as an object, but He sets it before us as an encouragement. There is a day of reward. And you know, there is such a thing as the judgment seat of Christ as well. Our whole life will be reviewed, and the motives behind what we have done. In that day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to Paul's gospel. Oh, what a day that will be. Could you project yourself for a moment that far? And picture yourself there at the judgment seat of Christ and looking back over your life. How about the things that you and I are occupied with now? Are they profitable? Are they in keeping with sound doctrine? Oh, you say, nobody's told me not to do this or not to do that. Have you been reading your Bible carefully to discover the will of the Lord? Our deportment, our dress, everything about us? Is it all done in view of that day that's coming? The day of reward. Then shall every man have praise of God, if there's any praise to be had. It's then. Oh, that's the day of manifestation. The day when everything will be seen in its true light. How about it? Does my present manner of life conform to that moment? The man also strive for masteries. Yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. Now you'll notice in the last chapter, if you look it up later, that the apostle speaks about a crown of righteousness being laid up for him. A crown of righteousness. He had sought to strive lawfully. And there's a special crown for that. The crown of righteousness. Now, the sixth verse. The husbandman has to first labor before he will be partaker of the fruits. I believe that's the thought. You may never see the fruits here. No, we labor in faith. You will see the fruits, though. But you'll see them perhaps in resurrection life. And so Timothy's instructed, you'll have to labor first, Timothy. The day is coming when you'll see the fruits. You may not see them now. But you have to labor first before there'll be any fruit. Now, if we go down to the 19th verse, we've noticed the background, we've noticed the preparation, the instructions of it, and now we're going to notice a little of the associations in which he's to be found. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and of earth, some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Now Timothy had a difficulty in his day. He was in the house, but the house was broken down. Things in the house were not like they were in the first epistle. Something had happened. When the Lord went away, you know, why then there was unfaithfulness in connection with his testimony. And that is carried down until today. There's terrible confusion in the house. It's still his house, though, remember that. It's still his house. And he's going to set things right when he comes. Now, Timothy can't set things right in the house, but he can separate from that which is to dishonor. And you and I can separate in the Christian profession from that which is dishonoring to the name of the Lord. It's a question of his lordship here. And that's what Timothy is instructed to do. The associations in which he's found must also be pure. They must not be contaminated. There must be that which can stand the fire, the gold, and so on. The wood and the hay and all that is going to be burned. But Timothy, if he's going to carry on a pure testimony here, the walk and the association is important. Not only that, but you and I are not strong enough in ourselves to resist bad association. No, if we obey the Word of God, we'll be preserved. If we think that we can associate ourselves with that which is impure in a spiritual way, remember, we're going to be dragged into it. You can never lift them up to your position. You'll have to drop to theirs if you're going to be having any fellowship at all with that which is not according to the Word of God. And this is so important. And how many have fallen by the wayside here. Oh, how important it is to notice that it's our associations and it's our habits that ruin us. Now the foundation of God stands sure, Timothy. The foundation sure. And as for God, he knows every one of his children. Every one of them. There may be some disobedient children, but he knows them. He knows every one. There was a day when Timothy could tell who were the Lord's, perhaps. But the time had come that perhaps it was hard for him to know. There was a mixture. And you know, it's a sad commentary, isn't it, when those who are supposed to be God's people can't be told from the world. And how often we have to hang our heads, too, in this matter. Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. The thought of the lordship of Christ here. Do we want to go on and own him as Lord in this scene? Well, then depart from iniquity. Now in the Psalms, the word iniquity is often used in connection with that which is hidden within the heart, in contrast to the word sin. Now perhaps that's the way it's used here. It's a religious line of things where there's something hidden in the house that's wicked. A system of things that the enemy has introduced, the mystery of iniquity. All of this is going on. It doesn't seem too well except by the anointed eye. And so, he's to depart from iniquity. Now this is the result. 21st verse. If a man therefore purge himself from these, this is what he will be. He shall be a vessel unto honor, set apart, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. A brother used to use this illustration, and I'll borrow it. He said, a sister will take special dishes, the dishes that she values very much, that she does not use every day, but she will wash them carefully and polish them, and she'll put them away behind perhaps glass doors. And there they'll stay possibly month after month. And then the time comes when a special guest comes along, and out come these dishes. Now they were prepared for the master's use. They may not be used, though, except on certain occasions. I think this is a lovely illustration. And it goes right along with the time, you know, when Elijah was told, after he had said to Ahab, according to my word, there'll be no rain these years, the Lord said to Elijah, you go hide yourself. And for 3.5 years, Elijah did nothing publicly at all. Oh, that's good for our souls. God wants us to know that He wants to use us when He wants to use us, not when we want to be used. Oh, how good that preparation was for Elijah. And I suppose if you asked Elijah after it was all over, Elijah, would you have missed this? No, sir, I wouldn't have missed this for anything. 3.5 years, hidden away. And then to come out again and to be used in such blessing, such tremendous blessing for the people of God. And then finally be carried up into heaven, accompanied by the chariots of fire. Yes, God knows the way He takes. And I will walk with Him, the little hymn puts it. How good it is. And so we have the vessels now prepared, and they're clean. They're ready for the master's use. And remember, they're prepared unto every good work. How were they prepared? Some special training? Indeed. But that which was given in the Word of God. Not what men speak of as special training. How can you teach the things of God in men's schools? It's only God Himself that can teach what He wants to teach men. And it was handed to the apostle directly from Himself. Not to the church, to an apostle. The church does not teach, but the church does support the truth. But now we've had the preparation for every good work. And that's true of everyone who's in this position. Now we notice the positive effects. First, it was separation. Now, proper associations, the 22nd verse. Flee also youthful lusts, In other words, when you flee, leave them way behind. Way behind. That's the safeguard of youth. Leave them way behind. Flee them. Don't make any provision for the flesh to fulfill it in the lusts thereof. But follow righteousness. That's the first thing. That's God's own character. But I like that little word, follow. You know, this is a good word for young people, or for any, no matter how old, if they're just young in Christ, or if they've come in among the people of God, one of the first lessons is to learn to follow. To follow. It's there in quietness that the soul learns the deep lessons of the ways of God. Oh, how important this is. Besides, it shows the proper spirit of dependence and obedience, which is so necessary in the Christian walk. Follow. How do we follow? We watch others. And we listen as they set the word of God before us. We follow. Whose faith follow? Oh, how good it is to see a brother or a sister walking in the path of faith, to see Christ replaced in the vessel and having that confidence in them, to see how their walk is in keeping with the Word of God and how it's demonstrated before our eyes. That's good. And so to follow righteousness, faith. Now faith, you know, is that which comes from the Word of God. There's no such thing as faith except that which is founded on the Word of God. Men use that word faith rather lightly, you know, but faith really means that it has come from what God has said. That's faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It doesn't follow just something that's come out of your mind that seems to be holy in character. That's not faith. If they speak not according to this word, it's because there's no light in them. It must come from the Word of God. That's faith. But it's also that which counts on God, you know. It's that which just rests completely upon God and His Word. But it's in keeping with His Word. Now we follow righteousness, faith, love, charity, the bond of perfectness. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, in that you have love one for another. And then peace. The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace for them that make peace. I'm quoting from the New Translation in James. The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace for them that make peace. You know, that's in keeping with the gospel as it went out first. They went preaching peace by Jesus Christ. And that's one of the signs, you know, that the Spirit of God is working in the midst. One of the signs. Peace. You know, it's easy to stir things up, but it's hard to settle them down again. It's better not to stir them up. You know how much we can learn from this. How much better not to stir things up. To keep that evenness, that peace that is so important among the people of God. And so, there's a special exhortation to Timothy in the 24th verse in this respect. It's in connection with foolish and unlearned questions. Questions that don't have any basis in Scripture. You know, The things that are revealed are for us and our children. The secret things belong to the Lord our God. Let's leave them there. And let's not bring up foolish and unlearned questions. And so the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach and patient. Well, this is good instruction then. But I want to finish that verse in the 23rd verse, or rather the 22nd verse. With them that call on the Lord out of a pure or sincere heart. And so when you follow these things, you're to follow them with them. Now, who is this them? I believe that if you and I will follow the instructions so far, we'll discover who the them are that he refers to here. They're the ones who, you can't read their hearts, but you can read whether this is true of that company. Oh, what a wonderful thing it is to be in a place, to be able to bring our children up in a place where the Spirit of God is free to minister the things of Christ, where they're guarded and kept from all the power of the enemy and the way that he lies in wait to deceive, especially by the wicked devices of false doctrine. What a wonderful thing it is to be preserved in this way. And I believe that God will preserve a little testimony in this way until Jesus comes. Now it says in the 12th verse of the 3rd chapter, I speak of this portion as sort of an exhortation to Timothy for constancy of spirit. Starting with the 12th verse, before that he's been speaking about what would take place in the last days, the difficult times, but still he's exhorted to be constant in spirit. So, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Timothy tasted persecution, I believe. Fourteenth verse, but continue thou. In what? In bringing in something new that will fit the day? Is this what he's to do? Is he to invent something that is for the times? No. Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And then he goes back to his childhood again. He goes back to the very beginning where he heard the first things. And that's what he used to continue in. He'd been taught by his grandmother Lois and his mother from a child, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. The Holy Scriptures. Oh, how we should value the Word of God. What a contrast with all that men are setting up today with their wicked minds. Oh, how we should value the precious Word of God in a day like this especially. Because what will it do? Are able to make thee wise unto salvation? Oh, I trust that every one of these dear young people have been made wise to salvation. I am sure that most here have been brought up in Christian homes. Now it says, continue thou. Don't let anything ruffle you or disturb you after the truth. Keep that helmet of salvation secure on your head. It'll keep out the arrows, the wiles of the devil. through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Now that brings it home to the conscience. Oh, how many have heard the gospel in their homes, but the point is, have you confessed Christ Jesus? Have you confessed Him with your lips? Have you believed on Him in your heart so you can say He's my Savior? So, what he learned as a child from the Holy Scriptures, I believe he's referring to the Old Testament, however, because that's what he had. In addition, he had the words of the apostle, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Now there are two verses of Scripture that particularly have to do with this subject, and one of them is right here. It says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And so this is what this Scripture tells us what it's for. But in the 15th chapter of Romans, there's a verse that says, in the 4th verse, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now that tells us who it's for. And so he is introduced to that which not only makes him wise unto salvation, but makes him prepared and truly furnished to all good works. Now in closing, I'll just refer to the last chapter, and that's this. There's a day when God is going to judge the living and the dead. And in view of that solemn event, when there's going to be a separation forever between those who have and who have not received the Word of God, Timothy was told to preach the Word in season and out of the season. Oh, what a solemn thing it is to think of the judgment to come. And the souls that are going to perish forever, the living nations who have rejected the testimony of the kingdom, and all the dead from Adam on who have despised the testimony of their day. What a solemn thing. Then he also sets before Timothy certain ones like Demas and others who have dropped by the wayside. They were still believers, perhaps, but they'd given up the path of faith. A solemn warning. But he says to Timothy, henceforth is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me in that day. Oh, what an end for the path of faith and faithfulness down here. May the Lord give each one, especially you dear young people, that purpose of heart to serve the Lord, to walk according to the truth that has been set forth in the Holy Scriptures.